A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses spoke to the people. He said, "So now, Israel, give heed to the statutes and ordinances that I am teaching you to observe, so that you may live to enter and occupy the land that the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving you. You must neither add anything to what I command you, nor take away anything from it, but keep the commandments of the Lord your God with which I am charging you. You must observe them diligently, for this will show you wisdom and discernment to the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, 'Surely this great nation is a wise and discerning people. For what other great nation has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is whenever we call to him? And what other great nation has statutes and ordinances as just as this entire law that I am setting before you today?'" The word of the Lord. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. When the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" Jesus said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition.'" Then Jesus called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come: fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." The Gospel of the Lord. The end of August and the beginning of September is the start of the school year here in the United States, and it can be a time of excitement for children, teachers, and parents. It's time for a new year to embrace challenges in the classroom, on the athletic field, and in all sorts of extracurricular activities. And this is also a time of rules, regulations, and laws. There are rules for parents in the drop-off and pickup of the little children, rules for informing the school when a child is sick. There are all sorts of rules for the school children, where they can and cannot go, their behavior in the classroom, halls, and so forth. There are rules regarding homework and tests. And then there are also the home rules that mom and dad enforce to be sure that the kids get enough sleep and to get their schoolwork done. The start of school year in the United States also brings additional laws for the general public. There are special traffic rules to follow in school zones and where and when school buses stop. The rules, laws, and regulations that involve the school year reflect the general reason why we have laws to start with: for the protection of society, and ultimately for the happiness of individuals. Now, I'll grant you that the 11-year-old sixth grader who is scolded for running in the hallway might not understand this, but he's much happier in one piece than if he had fallen and gotten hurt. Now, there are also rules and regulations and laws that guide our relationship with God. That's what we hear about in today's readings. In Deuteronomy, the people are happy because the law allows them to faithfully follow God. Moses told the people, "What great nation is there that has God so close to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon the Lord? Or what great nations have statutes and decrees that are as just as this whole law which I am setting before you today?" Now, the ancient Hebrews always felt that the law was a blessing, a personal guide from the Almighty. And this belief in the blessing of the law is still held by Jewish people today. Now, in looking at the gospel, we need to be aware of the overgeneralization by Mark. Saying that all the Jews do this or that is an overstatement by the evangelist. This is no more accurate than by saying all the Catholics do this or all Christians do this. There is great diversity among Catholics, among Dominicans, among humanity, isn't there? And when we make these huge generalizations, it's usually to make an effect. It's like when a child might say to a parent, "Oh, you always say that," or "You never let me have any fun." Now, more than likely, this is just an overstatement. The parent does let the child have fun. No one always says that one thing. So, in that same regard, we need to also exercise caution. Caution when we read statements in the New Testament that propose to speak for all the Jews. Now, and because historically Christianity has gotten into a lot of trouble by misreading these types of general overgeneralizations, and as a result, the Jewish people have suffered. They have suffered such a great deal over these misreadings by Christians. So we need to really exercise caution. In today's gospel, Jesus tells the scribes and Pharisees that they are hypocrites because they seem to be more concerned about the law than the reason for the law. Now, the word hypocrite comes from the Greek theatrical use of wearing a mask. And the use of the word hypocrite by Jesus is to point out that the scribes and Pharisees are presenting a false face to others, that they're not being true to themselves and how they've been called to live by God. Now, the scribes, and especially the Pharisees, shared a great many common beliefs with Jesus. But it's here that their concern with the way they wash their hands and cups and dishes was taking precedence over the concern with cleansing the evil from their hearts, which can manifest itself in theft, murder, adultery, greed, evil thoughts, and so forth. Now, when it comes to dealing with the law and how we deal with God, we can be tempted to take one of two extremes. We can feel that there's no reason for any law governing our conduct, and claim that we have the freedom to do whatever we want, whenever we want to do it. But this person risks losing their center, risks losing their purpose for being. Pope John Paul II said that freedom of conscience is never freedom from the truth, but freedom in the truth. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is our truth, isn't he? Now, the other extreme is the person who is concerned with the scrupulous following of the law as their way to try and win God's approval. And I think, in a sense, we all kind of tend to do this, as though our actions will make God happy. But we really have everything in reverse. God loves us and showers us with mercy and compassion. Our living a moral life is our response to God's love, not something that brings forth or that will earn God's love. It's all, God's love is already there. Now the stickler, the second person, judges everyone's relationship with God according to the way that that stickler is following the laws. They are absolutely convinced that their way is better than everyone else's. Well, Jesus didn't come to create a society of better than thou's or holier than thou's. Jesus came so that each of us can know God and know God's love more fully and more profoundly in our own lives. Now, it might sound like a contradiction, but people who ignore the law of God and people who think that they can use the law of God to force God to reward them actually make the same mistake. Their mistake is failing to recognize their dependency on God. Failing to recognize their dependency on God. By flouting God's moral laws, people think that they have no need for God. And by being over-scrupulous or a stickler, people try and take the power of God upon themselves. And we can't find God if we ignore God's presence and live for ourselves, if we're selfish and immoral. And we can't find God if we think we can force God's mercy by either doing or by avoiding some external action, and to continue to allow our simple tendencies to just fester within ourselves. But rather, our focus needs to be on the mercy and compassion of God that we experience in Jesus Christ. We need God. We depend on God. We are blessed by God. We are loved by God. Our life choices are a response to this love. How will we respond today?